Chapter 20. All identification and wristwatches were taken from the Russians when the Bougainville's men transferred them from the Staten Island ferry in mid-channel. They were blindfolded, and padded radio headsets were placed over their ears that emitted soothing chamber music. Minutes later, they were airborne, lifted from the dark harbor waters by a jet-engined seaplane. The flight seemed long and wearisome, terminating at last on what Lugovoy judged by the smooth landing was a lake. After a drive of 20 minutes, the disoriented Russians were led across a metal walkway and into an elevator. Only when they stepped out of the elevator and were led across a carpeted corridor to their bedrooms were the blindfolds and the earphones removed. Lugovoy was profoundly impressed by the facilities provided by the Bougainvilles. The electronics and laboratory equipment went far beyond any he'd seen in the Soviet Union. Every piece of the several hundred items he had requested was present and installed. Nor had any creature comforts for his staff been overlooked. They were assigned individual sleeping quarters with private bathrooms, while at the end of the central corridor stretched an elegant dining room that was serviced by an excellent Korean chef and two waiters. Furnishings, including kitchen freezers and ovens, office fixtures, and the data control room, were tastefully color-coordinated, with walls and carpeting in cool blues and greens. The design and execution of every detail was as exotic as it was complex. And yet the self-contained habitat also served as a luxurious prison. Lugovoy's staff was not permitted to come and go. The elevator doors were closed at all times, and there were no outer controls. He made a compartment-to-compartment search, but detected no windows or visible crack of an exterior exit. No sounds filtered in from the outside. Further investigation was cut short by the arrival of his subjects. They were semi-conscious from the effects of sedation and oblivious to their surroundings. All four had been prepared and laid inside separate cubicles called cocoons. The padded insides were seamless, with rounded corners, giving no reference point for the eye to dwell on. Dim illumination came by reflection from an indirect light, tinting the cocoon monochrome gray. Specially constructed walls shielded all sound and electrical current that could interfere with or enhance brain activity. Lugovoy sat at a console with two of his assistants and studied the row of color video monitors that revealed the subjects lying in their cocoons. Most remained in a trance-like state of limbo. One, however, was raised to a near level of consciousness, vulnerable to suggestion and mentally disoriented. Drugs were injected that numbed his muscle control, effectively paralyzing any body movement. His head was covered by a plastic skullcap. Lugovoy still found it difficult to grasp the power he held. He trembled inwardly at knowing he was embarking on one of the great experiments of the century. What he did in the next days could affect the world as radically as the development of atomic energy. Dr. Lugovoy? Lugovoy's concentration was interrupted by the strange voice, and he turned, surprised, to see a stocky man with rugged Slavic features and shaggy black hair who seemingly stepped out of a wall. "Who are you?" he blurted. The stranger spoke very softly, as though he didn't wish to be overheard. "Suvorov. Paul Suvorov, Foreign Security." Lugovoy paled. "My God, you're KGB? How did you get here?" "Pure luck," Suvorov muttered sarcastically. "You were assigned to my security section for observation from the day you set foot in New York. After your suspicious visit to the Bougainville Maritime offices, I took over your surveillance myself. I was present on the ferry boat when you were contacted by the men who brought you here. Because of the darkness, I had no difficulty mingling with your staff and being included for the trip to wherever it is we are. Since our arrival, I've kept to my room." "Do you have any idea what you've stuck your nose into?" Lugovoy said, his face flushing with anger. "Not yet," Suvorov said, unperturbed, "but it is my duty to find out. This operation originates from the highest level. It is of no concern to the KGB." "I'll be the judge." "You'll be crap in Siberian frost," Lugovoy hissed, "if you interfere with my work here." Suvorov appeared mildly amused at Lugovoy's irritated tone. It slowly began to dawn on him that he might have overstepped his authority. Perhaps I could be of help to you. How? You may have need of my special skills. I don't require the services of an assassin. I was thinking more of escape. There is no reason to escape. Suvorov was becoming increasingly annoyed. You must try to understand my position. Lugovoy was in command now. There are more important problems to occupy my mind than your bureaucratic interference. Like what? Suvorov swept his hand around the room. Just what is going on here? Lugovoy stared at him consideringly for a long moment before yielding to vanity. A mind intervention project. Suvorov's eyebrows rose. Mind intervention? Brain control, if you prefer. Suvorov faced the video monitor and nodded at the image. Is that the reason for the small helmet? On the subject's head? The same. A microelectronic integrated circuit module containing 110 probes, measuring internal body functions ranging from common pulse to hormone secretions. It also intercepts data flowing through the subject's brain and transmits it to the computers here in this room. The brain's talk, so to speak, is then translated into a comprehensible language. I see no electrode terminals. From a bygone era, answered Lugovoy, everything we wish to record can be telemetered through the atmosphere. We no longer rely on the unnecessary bulk of wires and terminals. You can actually understand what he's thinking? Asked Suvorov incredulously. Lugovoy nodded. The brain speaks a language of its own, and what it says reveals the inner thoughts of its landlord. Night and day the brain speaks incessantly, providing us with a vivid look into the working mind, how a man thinks and why. The impressions are subliminal, so lightning quick that only a computer designed to operate in picoseconds can memorize and decipher them. I had no idea brain science had evolved to such a high level. After we establish and chart his brain rhythms, Lugovoy continued, we can forecast his intentions and physical movements. We can tell when he is about to say or do something in error. And most important, we can intervene in time to stop him. In less than the blink of an eye, the computer can erase his mistaken intent and rephrase his thought. Suvorov was awed. A religious capitalist would accuse you of breaching man's soul. Like you, I am a loyal member of the Communist Party, Comrade Suvorov. I do not believe in the salvation of souls. However, in this case, we can't tolerate a drastic conversion. There will be no disruption of his fundamental thought processes. No change in speech patterns or mannerisms. A form of controlled brainwashing. This is not a crude brainwashing, Lugovoy replied indignantly. Our sophistication goes far beyond anything the Chinese invented. They still believe in destroying a subject's ego in order to re-educate him. Their experiments in drugs and hypnosis have met with little success. Hypnosis is too vague, too slippery to have lasting value. And drugs have proved dangerous by accidentally producing a sudden shift in personality and behavior. When I finish with the subject here, he will re-enter reality and return to his personal lifestyle as though he'd never left it. All I intend to do is alter his political perspective. Who is the subject? Don't you know? Don't you recognize him? Suvorov studied the video display. Gradually his eyes widened and he moved two steps closer to the screen, his face taut, his mouth working mechanically. The president? His voice was an unbelieving whisper. Is that really the president of the United States? In the flesh. How? Where? A gift from our hosts, Lugovoy explained vaguely. He'll suffer no side effects? Suvorov asked in a haze. None. Will he remember any of this? He will recall only going to bed when he wakes up 10 days from now. You can do this thing? Really do it? Suvorov questioned with the security man's persistence. Yes, Lugovoy said with a confident gleam behind his eyes. And much more.